This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Hey guys, here's a message from one of our partners, Spider VPN. As we all know, browsing the internet can be full of hidden dangers and snoopers, but you can easily protect yourself and at the same time get access to all your favorite websites and streams by using Spider VPN. They have some amazing offers right now and I come highly recommended. Check them out at spidervpn.org. And get yourself some great offers now. And don't forget to mention Dazzling Dave or Always Wolves to get yourself a real nice discount. That's spidervpn.org.
Good evening to everyone that's joined us. Sorry for the slight technical delay there, but we're up on air live at the moment. So if you're joining us, please feel free to share this around on your Facebook groups, on your WhatsApp. We're going to be talking about a few subjects today, but I'm delighted to be joined by Manny, my co-host, my regular co-host on the podcast. How you doing, mate?
Hi, Dave. Hello, everybody. And, you know, what's a podcast without a technical failure? It makes it real.
Well, that's where we're at, mate. We have got a lot of talk. There's quite a few people already saying hello, and you'll either be watching this live on YouTube, or you'll be watching it back on YouTube, or you'll be listening to it on the podcast. Even if we've got Merv on here, even Mr. Dazzle and Mr. Manny. Manny, yeah. Like, start to the season, we're in the international break. We're obviously proud that many of our players are away on international duty. Obviously, the Portuguese contingent. We've got Raul away with Mexico. We've got Connor again, obviously starting and played the whole game for England in the last match, which is fantastic. And we're in the middle of the international break, so we thought it would be an opportune time to reflect on the season so far. So, Manny, just before we get into a few subjects, and if you've got any questions to ask us, please feel free to put them in the comment section. How are you feeling about the start of the season as a whole, mate?
Well, you know what? This start of the season has probably encapsulated what following Wolves is all about. You know, we've had sort of a bit of everything. We've, started with wonderful, free-flowing football, chance after chance after chance. And then, I came to my school a week ago. All right, BXL. Yeah, I've been going to a few schools. Anyway, we couldn't buy a point. We couldn't buy a goal. You know, everything, gilt-edged chances being missed, left, right and centre. And then suddenly we've played not so well, where we've been solid. We haven't conceded many chances, but we've struggled to, you know, put the final pass together. But we've suddenly scored goals and we've won matches, 3 out of 4. And let's be honest, there's only really been one horrific performance against Brentford, which I don't think anybody turned up to that match. None of the players did. They, to be fair, are on a bit of a high coming up after so many attempts. So they're playing on that wave of emotion, and they've proven that against many other teams as well. So if you look at the balance of the season so far, the number of points we've got is probably fair, but we could have easily had 6 or 7 more just by taking 3 or 4 chances, you know, 3 or 4 chances of many, many chances we've had. So it could have been an absolutely unbelievable start, considering we didn't really get the players that we should have got and our transfer window wasn't the best. So I'd say it's work in progress, but more hopeful after those back-to-back wins especially.
Well, there is, and like you said, I think you hit the nail on the head there, mate, because like those first 3 games where we got no points and absolutely battered Leicester, Tottenham and United, there is a very strong argument to say we could have took all 3 points in each of those games. You could be sitting on 18. Then we had obviously that performance away against Watford where they gave us a helping hand with the goal, and then we had Wang came on and scored on his debut, put the ball in the back of the Odegaard bag. We got the points there. And I think, like what you said, I think we were all expecting that we're going to follow that up and the performances were going to continue against Brentford. And then it just didn't happen. I mean, to be fair, I think we talked about this over the tennis game, didn't we, on Friday? Yeah. Was it not Friday? Saturday, Sunday we played, didn't we? And we were saying,
one of the days,
until they got that first goal, the penalty, it was a very even game, wasn't it?
To be fair, it was a disjointed sort of a performance, but there wasn't too much in the game. And then, you know, Marcel gave a pretty horrendous penalty. I mean, if he did that the first time, he would have just got a warning. But that was his second time. He'd already been warned. So once you've already been warned that if you do that, I'll blow and give a penalty against you, you can't do it again. So it was a moment of madness. But then again, Marcel's not the biggest. Tony's a big, bolstering, you know, striker. Was he the right man to have him on him? He was probably had no way of defending him. So that changed the game and the momentum was with them. And then we made another, you know, series of mistakes. Kilman's been brilliant, but he sort of failed to, you know, clear the ball and ricocheted off Tony and scored again. So that was a poor performance by everybody. There was no scapegoats on that day. You know, we couldn't really single one or two players. Everybody was below the level that we played, especially in those first 3 games. So, but we've dug in a little bit, and we dug in, went away Southampton and the Newcastle game on the weekend, last weekend as well. And we dug in and we scored goals at right time, and we were fairly solid. And fair play to Jose Sarr as well. He's made 1 or 2 really crucial saves. You know, every goalkeeper's got a risk in there.
He was getting a bit of stick as well at the time, and he's come out with a couple of double saves, 2 big saves, and then obviously that assist for the goal for Raul, because it was an assist. First assist since Wayne Hennessy or something like that.
He's going to do that, because as soon as he gets the ball, he's on the front foot. You know, that's a Bruno Large tactic as well. It's not something that you just keep the ball and steady and everyone get into position. He looks for somebody, and we've got a lot of runners in our team who can get you further down the pitch. So he does look for those. The biggest sensation probably at this moment because of his 2 goals has probably been Hwang. Now, none of us really knew too much about him apart from he had that brilliant spell with Salzburg, went to Leipzig and didn't do it as well. So we took a bit of a punt on him at the time. Nobody was that over the moon that we'd signed him. But yet, you know, he's had, every time he's had a sort of a chance or a sniff, he just looks clinical. He just, if you look at his first goal against Newcastle, at no time did he look at the goals. If you look at the replays, he knew where the goals were. He knew which position in the box he was. And he placed it perfectly into the side netting. So that's like a natural finisher. That's something that we're really lacking in this side, a natural finisher. You know, we either score like blockbusters or people who don't normally score, you know, score for us. So we need a regular goal scorer, and he's got 3 goals, which is great. And he's the one hope that maybe he can score, I don't know, 10, 15 goals this season, which will take the pressure off Raul as well. And it gives him a strike partner. Raul came to life and to be fair, I don't think Raul's playing badly. He's, as a centre forward, he created more chances than any other centre forward in the Premier League, as far as I'm concerned. Look to the Newcastle match. So, you know, suddenly he's got a forward man who runs in between the defenders and he can slide balls into. So there's not even a question. Someone's asked, do you think you should buy Hwang?
She's a friend.
Not even a question. Is it, I don't know if it's obligation or option or what it is, but £12 million.
I think it's an option to buy, but I could see Wolves moving a lot sooner than the end of the season because he has made an impact. He's very strong as well. If you look at him, how he's built, he's almost a mini Adama. He's very fast. He gets into the tackle. That ball that Raul played for his second goal, I mean, that was sensational from Raul to turn him. And then the ball he played, but the acceleration that he had to pull away and then, like you said, keep the calmness to put it into the corner of the net. He passed it in.
The last time we saw that was obviously Raul with Jota. And then there was obviously, you remember Man City away when Raul did very similar things and then slid the ball through to Traore. And, you know, that's what Raul needs. He does come deep. So if he comes deep, he needs runners into the box. And at the moment, what was happening was he was coming deep and there was nobody in the box. So, you know, he was never going to be as effective as he could be. And now he's got Hwang who runs off him, who comes inside. Hwang isn't really a winger like, you know, Traore likes to stick a little bit on the wing, you know, and we've always said if he came inside, wouldn't he be more effective? But what Traore lacks is his end product, his finish. And we've seen he lacks that composure. And what Hwang had was composure. At no time in those two chances did he even look like missing. He just knew where the goals were. And hopefully, you know, someone's just said the confidence will grow, and it will. If you score goals like that and the fans are on your side, then the confidence will grow. So really looking forward to see how he plays this season.
And the development of him. And we'll touch more on that. One of the subjects that I've got on here that I want to talk about, obviously it's very early into Bruno Lage's reign, but we want to talk about how do you think Bruno Lage is doing? And the reason I'm bringing that up, because a few people said against like the Brentford game and like the fact that obviously we weren't scoring, although we're having the shots, it didn't seem to have much of a... And it was just throw on every single forward that you can, scattergun approach in the Brentford game. And there's a few people that said, does he have a plan B or was he just throw as many strikers on as you can and hope that something goes in? What's your thoughts on...
I think the Brentford was like just a one-off. We were 2-0 down. Nothing was going right. So he just decided, I'm going to do this. I don't think there's a problem with a plan B. If you think about it, he came with a reputation of playing four at the back. Four at the back was his way, and he's actually adapted to play three at the back and still created a hatful of chances. The only difference is we haven't took the chances. If you look at the chances in the first three games, we've had enough chances to win all three games comfortably, and that's not by taking all of them, just by taking a fraction of them. So he's found a way of creating a lot of chances. Recently against Southampton, you know, especially, it seemed like it was a little bit more the way Nuno played, where Nuno, you know, we sort of backed to the wall and tried to defend a 1-0 lead. But at the end of the day, results are the most important thing, and we can play all the fancy football we want. But if we had been seven games in and still hadn't won a game, then we would all be in panic station. So he's
we've just been joined by Mel Eaves, and he's been pointing to a book.
It's a result.
A results business. Hi, Mel.
Hello, Mel.
Glad you can join us. You just need to turn. Here he is.
When I'm just going to pay homage to Manny, obviously.
Cheers, mate.
Good to see you, Manny. Always good to see you, Dave.
Well, mate.
Great that you could join us, mate. Glad you got your Zoom finished.
Yeah, I had. It was more of a business Zoom thing at 7, but we just got it sorted out. So,
Mel, you might as well carry on where we're talking about, because we were talking about the season so far we had reviewed. But how do you think Bruno is doing in terms of the tactics he's brought to the club? And is he playing the way he wants to play, or, you know? What are your thoughts on Bruno?
After the first three games, which I inadvertently said on an interview with Paul Franks for BBC WM, that after the first three games we could play very well and still have no points. I was amazed how well we did play and have no points. But those having no points, which I think you've already alluded to it, Manny. Yeah. In the fact that we didn't take the chances that we created, but really some of the decisions that we've had have been absolutely scandalous, to be perfectly honest, against but that doesn't preclude from the fact that we didn't take the chances. We were so unlucky against Man United. How we lost that one, I don't know. Yeah. The same I would say for Tottenham.
Yeah.
And also the fact that we didn't come away with anything at Leicester, probably a point at Leicester and win the two home games, 7 points wouldn't have been
out of
place whatsoever with the way that we'd played, you know, with the performances that we'd put in. So, but I caught you mentioning about Brentford. I think Brentford did what Watford, Huddersfield, and one or two of the teams that have come up have done to us. We've just caught us cold a little bit, done a job on us.
Yeah.
Sheffield United were the same. Mm. You know, did a job on us, and you know, Brentford will do what Watford did in their first season when they were up. Same as Sheffield United. I think they'll surprise a few people. You know, I think that they'll more than comfortably hold their own. But we were bullied a little bit. You know, Tony bullied us a little bit. They were on the front foot. They play a very, very aggressive front foot game, Brentford.
And they've got brilliant acting skills as well, haven't they, Mel?
Well, yeah, we could go into that, but yeah, they're always on the front foot. They play a high intensity game and back themselves, and fair play to them. And they've upset a few people, starting off with Arsenal in the first game, and then they were 3-3 against Liverpool.
Oh yeah, that was, and they came back against Liverpool as well, didn't they?
They came back twice, and you're thinking, well, wow, nobody expected them to keep coming back as they did. So I'll just say all credit to them. I know somebody was saying to me after the Brentford game, one of the supporters, "Oh, well, we should be on the front foot. We know we did." I said, "Hold on a minute. It's a bit like a boxing match saying you should have knocked the other guy out. The other guy's got something to do with it. You know, he has. You know, he's actually throwing punches at you at the same time. So it's not that easy, is it? And you've got to give credit where it's due to the opposition. You can only play as well as the opposition let you. You can impose yourself on opposition, which is what we're coming back to with Bruno. The original question was, I think Bruno has been more, he's been braver, I think is the word. I think he's been braver than Nuno. I think Nuno is very conservative and builds from a clean sheet. And then, but which all teams have done in the past, if you look at it, the Arsenal Invincibles were
famous. Was it 1-0 to the Arsenal?
It was 1-0 to the Arsenal was the famous sprung out. That's where it originated. So yes, you've got to keep a clean sheet. But I think we're very difficult to beat. It's only been two. Well, not won't say poor decisions, but two decisions that could certainly have been reversed. You know, the goal against Man United. If that's not a foul by Pogba, you know.
And then the penalty decision was dodgy as well against Tottenham.
Well, and the penalty decision could have easily not been given against Tottenham. And then a similar one later when I think Wolves had a penalty claim.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it was Trincao or it was Semedo. So we didn't get the
rub of the green.
Well, yeah, rub of the green. Fair play, really. But it's really, when you're talking about VAR, for especially when we're looking at the Man United game with the Pogba Neves incident, that's as clear as day. That is not that for me, and no other professional or no other pundit, even on Match of the Day, whatever, they were all 100%. Sorry, that's a foul. That's a foul. Yeah. In other words, it shouldn't be allowed. And yet the only people, unless you've got rose-coloured glasses on and you're a big Man United supporter, but the only people who would objectively look at that and say that should have been ruled out were the officials on the day. And the VAR is only, it's like any technology. It's only good as the people that use
it. But they've got that second chance, haven't they? They've got that second chance. So that's the frustrating thing. Because on the day, in the moment, refs can miss something. And that's what VAR is there for. It's there. There's a second chance. Here, have a look again. We think you might have got this wrong. Okay, let me go and have a look. And that's the frustrating thing. For every pundit had basically agreed that it was a foul. Every supporter, even, United fans will say they were lucky as well, to be fair.
Yeah, right, smack on. Manny, I said, because I was covering the game for radio, and I said before I'd had the benefit of seeing it back, I said, well, instinctively, I think that's a foul. That I said that won't count. As it was working on, I said, well, it's irrelevant what happens. That won't count.
Okay.
It'll be brought back for the foul on Neves by Pogba. And when I saw it,
flicked it, weren't they, as well, going nuts after, and then the fact, look at this.
Yeah, but then the fact that his shin pad moves halfway around his leg, you're thinking, well, sorry, did that happen without Pogba actually making contact?
So how has Bruno done overall then, Mel? What in your opinion?
I've been really impressed with him.
Good.
I've been very impressed with him, actually. I think that because you can only judge a manager by the resources he's got at his disposal.
Okay.
There were a lot of the fans bemoaning the fact that we hadn't strengthened the squad and brought in more players. Now that Chang's come to the party. Initially with his goal against Swindon, but then when his two goals at Southampton against Newcastle were wonderful, and the way that he took them was the thing that
remember I said to you after the game we lost, I think it was United, or I met you outside and I said, Mel, you need to go out there and teach our forwards how to finish. So what do you think of those finishes by Wang?
I think Mel's hasn't he? Because of the...
Well, they were excellent.
Teaching Wang.
Yeah, go on, carry on.
But the thing is it... If you just watch them back, what I said in relation to those goals was... The reason that he got the time, he didn't get that much time, but the reason he gave himself the opportunity to score was the runs off the ball.
Yeah.
He wasn't just standing there waiting for somebody to pass me the ball. He's made runs from what I call outside to in.
Okay.
So the first one, he's made a run from left on the left-hand side of the three, right across into the inside right channel.
Yeah.
For Jimenez to then slot him into the inside right channel, and he's knocked it across the keeper with his right foot into the far bag, which is what you're taught to do all the time.
Yeah.
And then he's done the opposite, the other one. He's come from the right-hand side and he's come across into the inside left position, and because that's given him the space. Because if you watch it, they weren't sure whether the guy that was coming across with him was going or at the centre-back. And by the time they'd sorted it out, the centre-back decided to go, because the one that was marking him had got to go all the way across. But the thing is, he's that quick as well. It's the time. There's two things. It's the timing of the run, but it's also then getting away from your marker if they're going to follow you.
Yeah.
But then sometimes people play zonal marking so that they actually pass people on. And you could see the centre-back going, are you going? Or have I got to? And by the time they'd done that, the centre-back got across, but he just clipped it, and it just kind of went under the defender's foot that was trying to block it. But that's what happens all the time. And it's an excellent finish.
Absolutely. Yeah. A question I would like to just ask you both, actually, as we talk about the start of the season. I'll go with you first, Mel. Who's been your standout player for the start of the season?
Kilman, Max Kilman.
No hesitation there, Mel.
No, I think he's been wonderful. In fact, I will tell you that he's been that good that my standout player ever since I saw him first in a Wolves shirt, Willie Bolly, he's been that good that Willie Bolly couldn't come back in the team, even when he'd proved himself fit by playing the whole of the League Cup game against Tottenham. And playing very well, Willie Bolly, by the way.
He did, yeah.
And I thought, that'll be a test. But the manager stuck with Max, quite rightly, stuck with Max Kilman because he's got the shirt. Yeah. And he's pretty well not made a false move for me.
Yeah.
The big thing that I like about him, he's had nippy lads running at him because he's a big lad. Yeah. And you can understand him being decent in the air and what have you. But he's not, he's stood up and he's coped with everything, people running at him one-on-one. And and you've got to be able to do that in today's game. You've got to be able to do that. So I've been very impressed with him.
I've got to say, Mel, I'll agree with you actually on that as well in terms of Max. He's definitely a breakthrough season. I want to touch on Bolly in a bit. I want to welcome Paul, who's a friend of the show. He often gets called as a Jota lookalike, Mel.
Diogo, good to see you. How's it going at Liverpool? good to see you, Paul.
You've got to put a Portuguese accent on.
Paul, we were just talking about the start of the season. I was just asking both Mel and Manny and you. So give us a quick thought on your start of the season and your standout performance been so far. And obviously Manny will come in with this after that.
It's been mixed, but on the whole, positive, I think. I was particularly encouraged by the performances of the first three games, even though we didn't get any points. I thought it showed that we were being really progressive. And I like the new identity, the new attacking approach from the team. And then there was that Brentford match, which flipped everything on its head. Didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
Really surprised performance, and I've really liked the way in the last, we've won three out of the last four matches, so put us on to 9 points. Not a bad return from seven games. So on the whole, pretty good. Room for improvement, some encouraging signs. Those are all phrases I'd use to sum up the start to the season.
And your standout player so far?
I think if I was voting for my player of the year after seven matches, I'd probably vote Kilman. But I think special mention for one or two others as well. Moutinho, I think, looks reinvigorated. Yeah. I think he looks really fit. I think he's doing a lot of things that aren't necessarily that eye-catching, but he's a real essential component to how the team's playing at the moment.
Yeah.
And what about you, Manny?
Yeah, well, you know what? He just pinched my...
sorry, Manny.
Because obviously you guys all went for Kilman as a first, and I thought we can't go full house Kilman because he'll get big-headed if he ever happens to watch this, and he'll make a terrible mistake. So I was going to go Joe Moutinho because everybody and his dog said Moutinho, he's lost it, he's lost his legs, he's getting a bit weary, he's getting a bit old. We need to replace him. He can have a nice retirement in Porto. And he's still at our club. And he's come back reinvigorated. And potentially, he's one of our better players this season. He looks fresh. He even played the cup game against Spurs. It was the Neves that was dropped. And when Dendonka, who you know, did play well in that Spurs game, was given his chance against Southampton. I don't think Leander took his chance against Southampton. He sort of was missing and floating around. So Moutinho's back in again.
Same can be said about Pedence as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah, the both of them did sort of struggle. So for me, João Moutinho is just an inspiration at his age. And can he keep it up for? Maybe not. Maybe he can, maybe he can't. We don't know. But he's totally surprised me because, you know, to start off with Moutinho and Neves again, some people were, remember the old Lampard and Gerrard days at England where everyone used like, oh, they can't play together, you know, two exceptional players. People were beginning to talk about Neves and Moutinho in the same way. But it just shows you tactics and approach and the manager being a bit braver, Neves playing a little bit further forward, and it's just worked so much better, and we've seen a different side of Neves as well. So for me, João Moutinho, but I'm going to also throw a big standout performance of the season to the defence. Because, yes, we probably should have maybe improved, maybe. And with Gerson Mosquera's injury, it's left us a little bit short if, you know, once the African Nations Cup comes and Boly and Saïss have to go away, it's left us a bit short there. But
I'll tell you,
but the defence has been, I think, sixth best defence in the Premier League this season. The sixth best defence over the last 4 years in terms of goals conceded overall. So you have to praise that. Yes, we make the odd mistake, but our problem has been putting the ball in the back of the net. Take our chances, there's no pressure, you know. And I've always said we've got to score more goals, got to take chances, and then we all win games. And the odd mistake won't matter as much. If we haven't scored any, the odd mistake matters a lot. So, you know, fair play. They played really well against Southampton. I thought they were brilliant at Watford, and, you know, they collectively they played really well.
I tell you what, that actually brings on to, whilst we're talking about the defence, a subject. It does concern us because the African Cup of Nations is going to come up. Both Saïss and Boly could be away for 2-3 weeks or so. I miss 2, 3, 4 or 5 games, I think, depending on how far they go. And there's another question is, why isn't Boly playing? I know, Mel, you said about Kilman, but does Boly play in that position? I was thinking it was more likely that Saïss would drop out, although he's, you know, he played really well early doors. He had a couple of blippy games, and just before the like the Brentford game, and then Boly came in, played really, really well in the Southampton game once he settled back in, and then Saïss came back in. I thought and expected Boly would come back in. Can you see where I'm coming from with regards to that? I don't know what your thoughts are. That Kilman, Cody, and Boly, is that stronger than Kilman, Cody, and Saïss?
Well, it's only the manager that can. The manager has to. That's what he gets paid for. Otherwise, you could let us sort the team out, and he just trains them. So the thing is that, yeah, you could. There is an argument to say, well, Bolly's done well because he's right-footed predominantly. He plays on the right side of the three, and you want a left footer on the left side with. You've either got Saïss or Kilman, and you're saying, well, Kilman's been different class. So Kilman stays in there. But the thing is that Kilman's adapted to playing on the right-hand side. It's a bit like Boly. Boly adapted to playing on the left-hand side as well,
didn't he?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. So you've got quite a few players. Then you've got Dendonka that can come in and do a job as well. Mm-hmm. You've got the new lad who's been injured.
Yeah.
As well. I don't know what his name is.
I haven't seen him yet.
So we've done very well at the back. Saïss come in and he looks. The big thing about keepers is they organise the defence, and he looks a confident lad.
Mel, which keeper would you compare him to in your playing days? You've played with a few keepers.
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about that. But I think he's coming.
He commands his area more than Patricio, I would say.
He's coming and done well. He's coming and done well. Yeah, sometimes he's probably a little bit bolder coming off his line.
Yeah.
I think Patricio stayed on his line sometimes when I thought he could have come for it. But that's been ultra, ultra, ultra critical. I mean, nitpicking with Rui Patricio, I thought was absolutely brilliant for us. And we, as a Wolves supporter, so blessed to have, you know, to see people like Rui Patricio. You've mentioned already, big shout out for Joao Moutinho, you know, and Ruben Neves, and then obviously, you know, Raul coming to us, whatever. To have these, you know, proven international players come to Wolves is brilliant. It's brilliant, and it puts us, as you say, puts us right up there in the world rankings, really. I mean, looking at the supporters' point of view, I know, because I popped into the Wolves worldwide supporters, you know, the worldwide lounge. And you know, we've got about 160 odd Wolves supporters clubs around the world now.
Yeah.
From a few years ago, there was literally a handful, wasn't there? The London Wolves and everybody else, and different ones. But to grow it in a few years to 160 odd, just shows how popular and football is, the Premier League. But we're in there now. Yeah, we're just outside the top echelons, but we've only just got in there, so you can't expect. We got to walk before we can run. But I think we're back to where we were probably 40 years ago, back to when I played, in the fact that we knew that once we get our best team out, we could take anybody on.
I agree with that.
And that we've got, we can not only take them on, but we know that we can beat anybody on our day. And then it's just the consistency, which sometimes you get the consistency by having really good squad and backups. That's why, you know, you look at the quality of Man City squad, for instance.
Well, their second team would probably be pushing top six, wouldn't they?
Well, that's right. then you look at Chelsea. But the thing is that Chelsea and Man City built their squads on the back of unlimited money that they could throw at it before, and then the top six, once they'd got their positions in there, they then said, oh, we need financial fair play now to stop everybody else catching us up.
Well, that brings us quite nicely actually onto a supporter topic, and I think we should touch on it, because obviously, long-suffering Newcastle fans of the takeover's gone through. They're now the classed as the richest club in the world. I saw that Wolves are still the fifth richest in the Premier League, and in Europe or in the world, with something like the 10th richest still with the owners. And you're right on FFP. I mean, Manny, Paul, Mel, how do you think the takeover of Newcastle is going to change literally the perception of the Premier League? Do you think it will force some of the owners of the Premier League to sort of try, we need to do something a little bit sooner to keep ahead of these guys, because they are going to clearly build, obviously not immediately because they can't go into the transfer market till January. They've got to try and stay up this season. But, I mean, how do you think that's going to affect the Premier League? And what do you think about the takeover?
The proof is going to be in the pudding. At the end of the day, many big owners do take over clubs. Then they do things in a very controlled, precise manner. We've seen it with our own owners. You know, initially they had a big expenditure to get us there, and now they're being more coy and trying to work around being a prosperous business model. And then you've got, you know, the Abramovich and Sheikh Mansour throw money, sort of a plaything. Now we'll see what Newcastle are. They're going to be a plaything where they're going to try and bend all the rules and spend whatever they like, or they're going to, you know, you can have all the money in the world, but if you're not going to spend it, then I think is Mel okay? I think Mel's dying.
Yeah, are you all right, Mel?
It's all right. Something went down the wrong way, and I'm trying to.
Except Newcastle owners trying to get at you. Don't want you to say anything bad.
I think you know they've been linked. Newcastle have been linked with Conte, aren't they? The manager, and he's like obviously one of the best managers in Europe. And if they get someone like him, then you can say, oh, they mean business, because he ain't going to come to Newcastle if he isn't able to build his team the way he wants it. So the man in charge is really, really important. You know, you remember, we go back to the Fosun days, we brought in Walter Zenger, you know, Paul Lambert, Walter Zenger. So we didn't really go for a big, big, huge name. And we still didn't, even with Nuno, to be honest.
The thing was, we were in the Championship then, Manny. So you couldn't, there's no manager. Yeah. No top draw manager is going to come and play in a second.
If you look at Fosun's whole record, if you go through the managers they've bought in, if you look at Lambert, you look at Zenger, look at Nuno and Bruno Lage, it's never been something that is right at the top drawer, you know, of management, let me say. You know, like you're talking that, you know, the best managers in Europe. And if Newcastle get one of them, the type of manager that goes to Man City and Chelsea or Liverpool, or you know, then I think then that will be the, you know, okay, this is serious. They're probably looking to really build something huge. Owners will prick up their ears and react, I think. But to be fair, it's a little bit disheartening in a way, not because, you know, Newcastle haven't suffered and they don't deserve something good. Their fans have obviously suffered, you know, their own ownership problems. But football the way it was, and prices being so astronomical, and players being talked about for £250 million, and let's pay him £500,000 a week. You know, where the hell does it end? And it just gets a little bit exasperating to think, like, you do so much to try and keep up, and then the bar is raised so much further that how far can you really go? And if the owners don't want to spend the money, then you're going to be left behind, aren't you, if these clubs are spending so much.
And Paul, what you coming on with your thoughts on that before we get back into Mel?
Yeah.
Money obviously helps. I mean, if you go back to the 90s and look at how Jack Walker changed Blackburn's fortunes, took them from what was Division 2 at the time to Premier League champions. But on the same token, you could look at what Everton have spent under Mascheri, under the managers like Koeman and Marco Silva. They're in no better position now than they have been for the whole of the Premier League era, really.
Yeah.
So, like Manny said, the proof will be in the pudding. It might create a bit of excitement up there, and it might make one or two other teams that are pushing to be in that top eight, your likes of your Leicesters, your West Hams, maybe us, it might make us think once or twice about, actually, do we maybe need to invest to keep up with them? So perhaps in some ways it might be a good thing for teams like us, because our owners might think, well, hang on, we've got another competitor now that's come from nowhere, potentially. If they start to get a bit of success, will it make our owners want to try and keep up with them a bit? But yeah, let's see what they do.
And what's your take on that?
Go on, Mel. Sorry.
Yeah, and I spoke to a friend of mine who's a big Newcastle fan, actually, because he's from up there, and he said we're now going to be Man City with real fans.
That's probably a true comment.
But I can understand it if he said Man United with true, like, Manchester fans or Nuke, but because City is mainly new Manchester. But I suppose there's a lot of people tagged on since they've had all the multi-millions that suddenly joined them. I can see what he means. But I'm really pleased for Newcastle for the fans, for the club. They've had that you know, the Mike Ashley situation going on for years now.
14 years.
Yeah, I know that Alan Shearer, every time you see him on Match of the Day, he's kind of really frustrated about the situation. So I think everybody with a Newcastle black and white persuasion is going to be really, really pleased. But as Manny said, the proof's in the proof of the pudding's in the eating, isn't it? So let's wait and see what they do. It took Fosun a year to get used to what they were doing football wise, what advice they're taking, who they're using to to get round them as far as their football knowledge and what they're doing is going to be really crucial, because it's not just a case of just throwing money at it. You've got to actually get the right you've got to get the right people, and you've got to really know what you're doing. Jeff Shee and everybody at Wolves has grown into that, and the recruitment has been good, has been very good actually. You know, the recruitment of players, bringing it, and Wolves have brought in people like Jota, Neto. This Wang looks at, obviously, it's not something out of thin air. You don't, but it's still 26 million, isn't it? So it's, it's all about getting the right people at the very top. Yes, you've got the money. It's like any business. The more money you've got to play with, the more mistakes you can make.
Yeah.
You can, it's like anything. It's if you've got a rich sugar daddy who's just throwing money at you, you can make mistake after mistake, and you can still eventually succeed.
Money, yeah.
So I think Newcastle will be. I think Newcastle will do well. How well, as Manny said, we will wait and see, because that depends on how cute they are, the decisions they make, the recruitment.
There's no guarantees that they stay up this season at the moment.
Well, yeah, they'll stay up, because they'll get the right players in. If it's not Steve Bruce, I'm just saying they'll make sure the manager's right, and it still could be Steve Bruce if they're happy to give him and get the players in there. But it's all a case of the sum of the parts. You can't just buy best players, because we know in the football world, you've got to have a good dressing room. You've got to have the right people in your dressing room. So it's not just a case of going out and buying the best players. You've got to buy the right players for your club, with the right ethos, with the right mentality. And then you've got to get them to play in a way that you want them to play. So there's a lot more to it than just playing fantasy football manager, so to speak.
Even at a lower level, if you go back to our days, remember when Jack Hayward takes over, and we bought Kevin Keane, David Kelly, and Jeff Thomas. Now, those three players were like three really high-profile players for Wolves to sign altogether. And we thought, oh, my God, the good days are here. But suddenly, it took us a number of years, you know, and we bought, you know, the Davies and Froggatts, and we were signing players left, right, and centre, weren't we? And we couldn't do it, and we still kept failing, and we went through, you know, the managers, and it does take time. It's not just about money. Yeah, that's at a lower level and his funding, and you know, but it was still the Championship at the time. It was a huge thing when Jack Hayward took over. It was this, you know, rich businessman taking over a Championship side and watch Wolves go. But we still struggle. So it is really important, like Mel says, all the things have to be in place. And that's why I said, if they get a Conte figure, if they attract someone like Conte, I know it's only paper talk, but if they did, then you would say, oh, okay, because you've got suddenly a leader who's sort of proven, title winner, you know, national manager, and he ain't really going to come there if he isn't going to get the ball.
Yeah, you make a good point, Manny, that Conte's not going to come unless he's he's going to know what the SP is, and that he can get the players that he wants. He can bring in the players that he wants. Yeah. But that's always been the case. It's so it may not be somebody like that that they can get straight away, but they could do if they're, because at the end of the day, money does talk.
Money talks.
Absolutely. Well, let's move on from Newcastle. And a couple of things I just want to say before we move on to looking towards the end of this, to the next part of the season. Obviously, Villa up next. First off, Manny, I think a lot of people would like to say congratulations, I think, and well done on completing the marathon. I know we talked about it on Sunday over the tennis. It was an amazing experience. Yeah. You actually, over the last 3 years, that got you over the line to raising over £100,000 for Dementia UK, and that is a fantastic achievement. I think
you know what, Dave, you know, and Paul knows, and the fan base knows that, you know, first of all, nothing can work if there's not a togetherness, and you know, the support has been phenomenal. You know, that 105,000, I think we're on in 3 years. 3 years ago, we were on 700 quid in most giving. And we decided to do a Samosa Saturday, which we did for a Spurs game, which was the 3rd of November, I think it was. And so it's about 3 years ago. We had 700 quid in the Just Giving and decided to do that. And it raised about £3,500. And I remember a Wolves fan, Richard Stafford, his name is, and he joined me for the bike ride to Anfield, Richard did. And he said to me on that Samosa Saturday, Manny, you'll be on £25,000 by the end of the season. Keep going. Keep doing this. By the end of the season, we'll have raised £25,000. And I said, you must be joking. And he goes, you underestimate. This is Wolves. The fans will buy into this and they will support you. And here we are 3 years later, you know, £100,000. And the marathon. Oh, Dave, honestly, if anyone's ever thinking of running a marathon, eating them is easier. Eating marathons is easier than running them, let me tell you. It was, you know, my training didn't really go to plan. I did my calf in, and then I had to rest that. And I got up to half distance. So I had a half marathon in the belt, and I got up to 14 miles. I was running really well, met lots of fans, and Wolves fans came out with there's a few with their flags and scarves who are based in London. And then my legs just seized up. They just didn't want no more. The mindset was okay and the heart was there. But my legs said, hang on, mate. That's my distance. I'm not going to go any further. And it was limping and struggling and just riding the wave of the emotion of the crowds. And we got there in the end. The funny thing is, I saw Buckingham Palace and it's like 600 meters to go. And I thought, right, I'm not going to walk the finish. So I did my best Usain Bolt impression. And I started running past everybody. And the guy on the commentary thing on the mall goes, oh, my God, who's this? Look at the finish to his marathon, 26 miles, and he's finishing. And I was sprinting down there. They probably thought I broke some sort of record. What they didn't know is I'd been limping for 10 miles and walking it. But it was brilliant. It was brilliant. The whole atmosphere, you know, it was something I was really nervous about. You know, you can't just turn up to a marathon and say, I want to do a marathon. You have to train for it. And it was so hard work. And I said, I am never, ever, ever going to run a marathon again. And 2 days later, I entered the ballot for next year.
Well, mate, absolutely sensational. And quite as you said, you've done that. And you've inspired a lot of people to support and get behind and raising 100,000. There's a lot of people that are affected by dementia, whether it's like family or friends. Paul has just put up here. Well, we know Paul, very proud of what you do. Lost his mom to dementia, shocking illness. And anything you can do to support, that is just fantastic.
While we're just saying that, Dementia UK, just for some, you know, what they do is here and now. So they're not a charity that's looking into loads of research to stop. They want to help the here and now. So they run a free hotline and they give a free nurse service, which specializes in dementia care. And they go out to the care homes and the hospitals or to your home. Or at worst, you can phone them and you speak directly to a nurse and they will support kids, family members, brothers and sisters, everybody who is suffering from having somebody suffering with this illness. So they're absolutely vital. They've got about 400 nurses, but it's growing. So that £100,000 you guys have raised and contributed to will help fund these nurses who are going to go home to make people's lives easier right here, right now. So, Paul, you know, even though your mother has passed away, if you guys ever want help, they'll be there for you. Even after your loved one's passed away, they're still there available to help you. So, you know, a lot of it's Britain's biggest killer right now, believe it or not, kills more people than any other illness does dementia. So it is real, hotly sort of related to football now. You know, Mel knows a lot of players from his era and before have, you know, you look at Brian, Law, Dennis Law, you know, you look at Jeff Astle, you look at so many, you know, legends of the past have now suffered with this illness. So it's a real problem, and there's lots of research happening in football as well, in junior football and heading practices and you know, so it's something we all thank everyone, all the supporters, for just joining in all the time. Whenever I think about doing something, I'm always a bit nervous, and then you just blow me away. So thank you very much. And we'll be doing a Samosa Saturday very soon, hopefully. And you can all come and join.
Is that when we're going to be at the ground, mate? At the ground.
The subway. To be honest, I've been really busy, and we haven't really had a Saturday match. The only one that was possible was the Newcastle, and I happened to be running a marathon, so you know we couldn't do that one. We've got December the 4th, which is Liverpool at home, penciled in. All we have got is crossing our fingers that Sky Bloody Sports doesn't change the bloody kickoff. But if they keep it on Saturday night, we'll still do it. So it's, as long as they keep it on a Saturday, 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or 3 o'clock, then that's the date we're looking for. So, you know, I'm sure everybody will join in and contribute like they always do.
And watch this space. Fantastic, mate. Well done.
Thank you.
Just before we go on to the end of the season, also, I think we should give a big shout out to the ladies, the Wolves women team. Obviously, had the last two seasons interrupted by COVID. They finally got the promotion. They've gone up to the next division, and they're unbeaten, aren't they, at the moment? A fantastic game against the weekend. I think they come back, win 3-2. I think you went to that game. I've been to a game. You've been to a game, Paul. I don't know if you've been down yet, Mel, but they've got a good little team building there, I think.
Yeah. Dan is like, you know, he's straight from RAF Cosford. And he brings that discipline, but he brings a joy as well and an energy. So he's got so much togetherness. Currently, Wolves women have got about 8 players out, believe it or not. Very, very good players as well. So they're blooding 16 and 17-year-olds, especially in the forward positions. So to be top of the league, 6 games, they've won out of 7. Fantastic achievement. And you know, and fans, if you're not doing anything on a Sunday, especially season ticket holders, 2 o'clock, if when they've got a home game, it's absolutely free. Down
you
at
can
Castle
get in
Clock.
With your season ticket, can't you?
Yeah,
free.
Brilliant. And it's brilliant. It's just a lovely afternoon at a wonderful local stadium. And, you know,
it's got some history, that stadium, Manny.
Tell us.
Go on, Mel.
Well, obviously, Castlecroft is where we're used to train. That was the training ground for Wolves when for many years when I was there and a long time before I was there. Okay. But it was just in probably the 80s when everything went tits up that they actually eventually sold it, because it was just they were selling anything they could, any asset that they've got they could get anything for.
Yeah.
So the rugby union came in and used it as one of their national bases. And then eventually, actually through the backing of a friend of mine, they went to my old school, Wolverhampton Grammar School. It's now the old Wolfrunians, which is just by there. Castlecroft is where the old Wolfrunians club is. And then the old Wolfrunians bought it so that they're now Wolfrunians, the AFC, play there.
That's right, yeah.
So I know how it all happened, and I'm really pleased that, you know, A, there's football being played back there, after many years of it being rugby. And then they've just obviously updated and spent a lot of money you know, bringing the stadium up to speed, up to the way it is now. But yeah, that's where I used to train when in the late 70s and 80s, early 80s. That was where we used to use, as well as the sometimes from the ground and what have you. But yeah, so it holds a lot of good memories for Wolves, and it's wonderful that the Wolves women are based and playing the home games from there. I think it's very fitting. Yeah.
Well, we'll get yourself try. As I say, anyone can get, if you've got a season ticket or not, try and get yourself down to support the women. There's something special happening there, and I think they're not too long distant future. They'll be pushing that Super League. You just watch this space as well to join the top division. I'm sure that's going to happen with the investment they've got going in there as well. They're going places, aren't they?
Well, it'd be nice to see them pushing. And so they're now in the division below the Premier League.
No, two divisions. So if they get promoted, they'll be in effect like the championship.
Well, they've just got promoted. So they've got promoted from, where are they now then?
Yeah, they're in the National League. So there's two National Leagues. So they have to win their league, Wolves, and then they play the winner of the other league, and only one team goes up.
Into the Premier League?
No,
into
not the in the Premier League. Into the division just below the Premier League, which is the championship.
Oh, yeah.
So they're a couple of levels below.
Bit complicated.
It is totally complicated. You can win the poor girls can win the league and still not go up. That's how complicated it is.
Which is very, very, very strange. I don't know. Somebody who doesn't get out a lot and just.
Well, I think the Women's Super League
has actually never played the game. Has actually dreamt that rule up. Yeah.
I think that what they've got Women's Super League is so elite, so far ahead of like the level Wolves are playing at. They just sort of protecting their own assets a little bit, I think. It's almost like the Premier League.
Having a closed shop
and then only allowing one up. I mean, we've talked about it in the bloody Premier League, haven't they?
Recently? Well, it's a bit. Well, yeah, they used to have that many years ago, Manny, which are
North and South Division.
Remember? Some of the younger people listening and looking in won't remember the fact that there were four divisions, 90-odd teams in the Football League. But if you finish bottom, you weren't relegated, as it is now. Mm. You could be voted that you stop in.
So it
wasn't just the fact that if you finish bottom of the fourth division, as it was then, or division two now, or whatever, league two, you didn't go down to the conference.
No.
Unless you were actually voted out of the league.
And then they let someone in. Well, let's look ahead. We've got the last 10 minutes of the show. We're going to come to Paul first on this. We've got the next few games. We've got the Midlands Derby against Aston Villa. And then we're following that up. It's away at Villa Park. Obviously, then we've got Leeds. For the Wolves fans, going to that's going to be quite special because obviously not played a top flight fixture against Leeds at Elland Road for a very, very long time because obviously last year was in the pandemic. And then the next home game is not till the big Monday night, isn't it, against Everton. What are your thoughts ahead of those? And from what you've seen, have you changed your view of where Wolves could finish at the end of the season and where are you sort of thinking we could finish now?
I'll come to your last question first. It hasn't really changed. I still think we'll be around somewhere between 8th and 12th. And if someone offered me 8th now, I'd be over the moon with that, to be honest. So I thought that at the start of the season, somewhere between 8th and 12th. And I still think the same. In reference to the matches that are coming up, I've said on the podcast a few times that I think playing away from home will suit us more this season. I think we're a better side away from home because we're quite resolute defensively. Only Man City have allowed more shots on goal than us this season. But what we have got is great pace, skill and dynamism going forwards. And I think that suits went to Leicester, went to Watford, couldn't make Southampton, but I quite fancy us in the next two matches on the road. They will be expected to come and have a go at us, and I think that will play into our hands. So I'm quietly optimistic about the next couple of matches. I was thinking before, will he go to a 5-3-2? Will he play Hwang and Jimenez together as a two? Because I think that partnership's shown promise. But at the same time, I think he's got to find a way to play Adama, especially against Villa. So I think he's got some good options going forward. And I'd like to see us get the first goal. And then that'll really play into our hands if we do.
100%. And Mane, your thoughts?
I think there's still that big doubt, you know, Boly, Sice going, and then have we got the cover in defensive? What if one person gets injured? Will January come too late to bring in the reinforcements? Will that mean we suffer? So with all that in your head, and I still think we were one or two players short in the transfer window, despite what Mel says. No, I think I'd be happy with 12th. I would. Anything above that, I'd be, oh my God. But like Paul says, it's very close. After the first four or five teams, everything else is quite bunched up, and it doesn't take much to climb that table. So, you know, we could quite easily, you pick the 4 points out the next two games where we've played well away at Leeds and Villa, then suddenly we'll be in a fairly decent position. So we'll be more hopeful. So it could change. So at the end of the season, we are where we are, I think, with the season where we've had a mixed bag, and but overall we're happy. And I think that's where we'll finish, sort of in the middle of the table. The matches, Villa and Leeds, are going to be hard matches because they are two sides that do try and play on the front foot, a bit like what Wolves want to do eventually, even though they might not be hitting all their straps, you know, and all their moves that they're trying to bring in. They're not producing everything at the moment, but it all, you know, that first goal, like Paul says, is really important. The first goal, we don't score first goals. You know, where's that gone? You know, that's got to change. Yeah. You can't have first halves when you don't score. It's a 90-minute game, and it's not from the want of trying. You know, we've created the chances. We just haven't took them. But we've got to score. We've got to be in the lead, and then you got to then go for that second goal, be in a comfortable position, and start to dominate a few games. We can't just be 2-1s, 1-0s, 2-1s, 1-0s all the time. It'll catch you out, I think. And you go into those matches a knife edge, but I'd be very happy with 4 points. Someone said 2 points. You'd be very happy if you were unbeaten, but you would like to win a game, because if you win a game and you lose the other, you get more points. So, you know, it's better than 2 points. So, and it is a results business, as it says behind Mel. That it is. So, you know, and then we got Everton at home again. We need to build on the momentum because our home form has been atrocious for a number of, you know, games, how many games it was up until we beat Newcastle. So we've got to build on that Newcastle. And Everton is not an easy side to play, but it's another winnable game for us. So we can stay unbeaten against Villa and Leeds and then win your home game, we're going to come out of this spell very good, you know.
Well, that's really good and good points that you make there, Manny. And I'm really going to be interesting to see and hear Mel's take on this, actually. So let's have a listen to what you think, Mel.
I'm just very comfortable and very pleased with the way that Wolves have gone about things. I didn't say I was happy with the fact that we didn't have more players in, Manny. I think you've kind of assumed. If you assume what I'm thinking,
yeah,
then that makes an ass out of you and me.
You and me, yeah.
So
that happens all the time, mate. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So, but I know what you mean, but if, again, it's a bit like Nuno saying that, yeah, he only wants to work with so many players, 18 players in his squad or whatever, what have you. When I played, I know it's a different game now, and it is a different dynamic. But you go back, the team that we're playing next up, the local derby with Aston Villa, when Aston Villa won the Division One, which is the Premier League now, to go on and the following season and win the European Cup, how many players did they use all season?
14.
All season, how many players did they use?
I'd say 14.
I'm going to go 16. I remember. 16.
Can you remember, Paul?
Paul's the stato. He probably know this.
14.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch what you said. The feed broke up a little bit.
How many players did Aston Villa use when they won the league in 81, 12. I think?
14.
Yeah, 14. So 14 all season.
That includes Forest were the same, I think.
That includes subs. I think Forest used slightly more, but I haven't checked that. But I know that Villa only used 14, and I think that's a bit of a record. Mm. So when they talk about squads of 25 now, it just wouldn't have happened. We had that many players at the club, but they'd be playing in the reserves or they'd move on. And the thing is that you didn't use the, going back a few decades, you didn't use the loan. The loan system wasn't used as it is now.
No.
It's totally, you know, players just, you bought and sold players. Or you let players go, you didn't renew the contracts and they went somewhere. The loan with the right to buy is used a lot more now. And I think Wolves take advantage of that in the right way and have done that very well. But I'm just pleased with the way Wolves are going. I don't like to say, well, you see, the thing is that I think we'll be comfortable. I think we'll be comfortably mid-table, but we could do even better if things start to click. If we start to click and into place, Jimenez starts scoring regularly, Wang starts scoring regularly, other people start to chip in. As well, that can do, you know, from midfield, your defenders coming up and scoring goals, which has always happened in the past as well. Your wing back scoring goals, anything could happen. So I'm always probably more glass half full than half empty. I can't see us having any challenge with getting sucked into the bottom half of the table at all. How well, or whether we have a chance of pushing the top six, we will see. We will see. There's still chances of doing that if we can get everything right. And I would rather go in with, as opposed to settling for mid-table now, I just go, well, let's see what we can achieve. Let's see. Yeah. Because if we know that, I don't care who it is, we know whoever we play, if we get our best 11, 12, 13, 14 players out, and our bench is looking a lot stronger now, which I was pleased about. The bench is looking a lot stronger than, say, the first game of the season. At Leicester, and compare that with the last game, I think the benches looks a lot stronger. And you know, we found another goal scorer along with Rahul. Where he fits in, people like, as you say, Adama Traore, Trincao started off very well, then gone off the boil a little bit. Pedence is he's another talent that
Neto to come back,
and then the mouth-watering prospect of Pedro Neto, who I think is the best prospect since obviously Diogo Jota. I think that
I thought you were going to say best prospect since Meleves.
Now Neto's got a far better left foot than I had. I could only stand on my left foot, but
modest now.
I like him. I think he's
going to be better than Jota, personally.
Well, Well, he's capable. Potentially, he could be. I agree, Dave. Yeah, potentially, he could be. He's not at the moment because he ain't playing, but potentially he could be. So there's a lot to look forward to. And I think if something was cast iron certain that we were going to finish, and I think if you look at it objective, you know, kind of with your bookies hat on or whatever, and wind things up, I agree with Paul. You know, anywhere between 8th and 12th or 8th and 14th, he's probably where we're going to finish. But we can dream, can't we, as fans? We can dream that if we did get it right, we could push the top six again.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, otherwise,
it's bloody boring going there every week thinking, well, we ain't got a chat. You've got to dream about winning the cup. We want to win the FA Cup and finish sixth in the league, don't we?
We do. Absolutely. Brilliant to win the FA Cup. You know, we can give.
Getting to Europe again?
We basically go toe-to-toe with any side if we have the right team and the right attitude. We know there's no one to fear, believe it or not, because we do. We've got so much threat with the way we play, especially in the forward areas.
Well, the thing is, if we can't do, we can certainly emulate and do what Leicester have done, for instance.
Yeah,
Leicester have gone and won an FA Cup, and they've gone into Europe, and I'll push it. We're a bigger club than Leicester.
We're a bigger club
historically anyway. Anybody listening from Leicester would argue that fact now. But I'm saying, as a Wolves fan, we're a far bigger club than Leicester.
No, we're much bigger than Leicester because we have never ever had to resort to clappers, have we?
Well, yeah, they have them every game. I'm with Mel. I'm always like, Manny always sort of like says, oh, Dave, you know. But I'm always the positive. I'm always probably a little bit...
Dave will tell us we're going to win the bloody league. That's
Well, I'm not that far, but I think if we don't pick up any major injuries, because I do worry about if something happens to one of the midfield three, and we can get to January and reinvest... and get in that defender and maybe whether it's Botman or and Sanchez potentially who's rumoured to be coming, and we can be sort of in that round about the 10th, 9th, 8th position getting into January, then like with Mel, I think we could push on for a top six finish and why not win an FA Cup? You've got to have some ambition to do that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go 6th to 8th and an FA Cup final. How's that?
Cool.
Tasty. We'd love that, wouldn't we? An FA Cup final to finish the year.
The thing is, I always look, what you think about comes about. If you think we're going to do, if everybody thinks we're going to be struggle, we'll struggle. It's a collective. If everybody goes there expecting us to win and perform, that was the thing that I was really pleased about, that after the first three games we'd performed in every game and we performed very well. And the fact is that ultimately over a season especially, it's very rare that your performances don't translate into the points. Over a short period of time that can be very deceptive. It was very deceptive, both with Wolves being in the bottom
and having no
points and Tottenham winning all three games.
Yeah.
We played far better than Tottenham.
Yeah.
In all three games, especially the one against Tottenham. And they're top and we're obviously in the bottom, no points. It was ridiculous. So over a short period of time, you can have it can be very distorted. But over the longer period you take,
it'll level out. Yeah,
it obviously reflects how well people are playing and the performances they're putting in. So it's all about performances. It starts with performances. I like Bruno in the fact that he's come with a reputation of playing attacking football on the front foot when he was Benfica. Wants to score a lot of goals, and he's more happy being on the front foot than. But even. We know also that Wolves can defend. They're set up very well, but that's all credit to Nuno because obviously Bruno's going to use what all of the good points that Nuno's established and instilled into the players. And he's got, and you know, there's still the vast majority of players are there that played under Nuno. So they know how to defend. They know how to set up as a team and make it very difficult. First of all, any manager will tell you, you've got to set up your team to be difficult to beat.
Yeah.
And then you're looking to be as entertaining and as progressive in the way that you play as possible. But you can't, there's no point being, oh, we're scoring loads of goals and losing every game 5-4.
Well, I'll tell you something. I think that the fans have been, even when we've not won, the fans have stuck behind him quite well. They haven't turned. Okay, there's a few jeers in the Brentford game. But apart from that, I think the fans have been pretty much magnificent behind him, and they've had the patience. They can see the potential. And we, I think when we got that goal back against Tottenham in the Cup, all of a sudden the confidence started to come back into the team. We started zipping it around. We were unlucky, not in the end. I mean, Neves hit the bar, didn't they? And then we haven't quite hit the heights of the first few games. But against Newcastle, for example, there was periods of that game where we were zipping the ball around really, really quickly. And I know towards the end of the game, we were probably hanging on a little bit just for that victory. But we got over the line, didn't we?
When you say we got over the line, Trincão's chance was, it was criminal that he didn't just side foot that into the net. He's tried to lash it. I'm thinking, what are you doing?
He had a similar chance against Brentford that he fluffed. Remember when the ball was squared to him and he just fluffed it in front of goal and he didn't get a good connection. And then he's probably overcompensated and thought,
you make a really good point there, man. He probably thought, right, I'm just going to make sure I get a really good connection on this.
Yeah, that's what
and he's got such a good connection. Yeah. He's just leant back just a touch. Yeah. If he hadn't leant back just a touch, and it's just fractions, absolute fractions, hits the underside of the bar, bounces down and hits the back of the net. It looks an absolutely worldy, doesn't it? And the roof comes off the stadium. But the problem is, 30 seconds later, Newcastle equalise. So instead of being 2-0 up, we won 1-1, and then we're hanging. But fortunately, we then do enough with Raul and Wang combining again to get the winner.
Yeah.
Well, we shouldn't have been put in that situation, man.
No, we shouldn't.
We shouldn't be in that situation. We should be really, really comfortable. Newcastle have really got to come out of their defensive setup, which he loves anyway, 4-4-5-1 or whatever. They've got to go for it. And that leaves us even more space to exploit them. But the game was over, I think.
Well, 2-0, and then
we make it hard for ourselves.
We've just beaten the richest club in the world. How good does that feel?
We've beaten the richest club in the world before they've actually got their money. So that's a good time to play them.
Yeah, it's a good time to play them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the podcast. We've nearly done a full 90 minutes almost. I'm going to come for some last words with Paul, Manny, and then Mel. And Mel, I can see that is that your book that's behind that you've done?
Well, the book I'm writing is this one. It's a results business.
Yeah.
But I've also, during the lockup or the lockdown, whatever you want to call it, same thing. I did that one.
The three E's. Oh, bloody hell.
Three E's. How to achieve optimum performance.
Okay.
And that's all about how you exercise is the first E.
Yeah.
Or movement, exercise. The second is, and you don't have to run a marathon, Manny, obviously.
Yeah.
So, and the second one is what you eat, which is Samosa Saturday. See, I'm linking Manny in with all these, you see.
It's an autobiography.
and the third one, which is what I actually specialize in, really, when I talk about performance specialist, is how it's all about emotional intelligence. It's all about how you control your emotions, specifically under pressure.
Yeah.
So those are the three E's. And then if you maximize those three E's, how you exercise, what you eat, and drink, and what you don't eat and drink as well. And then, and how you control your emotions gives you more of the fourth E, because emotions are energy in motion, and it's energy. Because obviously we want more energy, don't we? Because if you haven't had the energy, Manny, when you're when your legs didn't want to take you anywhere, but then it's all about emotional intelligence. Because your attitude determines your altitude. And if you hadn't had the attitude, if you were going to give up, it would have been very easy to give up, wouldn't it? After you, when your legs went, when you hit the proverbial wall.
I'd even thought of all the excuses that I was going to give for stopping. I'd already got them in my head. This is what I'm going to say, and these are the reasons, you know, because it does hit you that mentally, because it's like there's another 10 miles. It's not like down the road. There's another 10 bloody miles to go, and I can't move my legs. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, something really – mindset is, well, you know, the biggest thing. We've seen some of the greatest players in the world, you know, who might not have the physique. They might not have the speed, but their mindset or their brain power used to get them through matches, didn't it? You know, used to glide through the surface and let their brain play, you know. So, definitely.
And how can people get your book, Mel?
Well, you could obviously it's on Amazon, but you can also get you can get a free download, so you can get it for free.
Oh, bloody hell.
In an ebook, in other words, a download.
Yeah.
If you want to get one of them,
ping me the link on WhatsApp.
If you want to get one of them with me signing you, I'll bring one when you do the Samosa Saturday. I'll bring you a signed copy, Manny.
Bring me one as well, Mel. If you put the link if you can type it into the thing, people.
It's dead easy. It's just meleves.com. MELEVES. No dots. MELEVES.com. That's it.
There you go. Brilliant. I'll put it on the chat for people.
And if people go on there, they just put their name and email address, and they can download that for free. Because it's only 30 odd pages, but it's just bullet points of, so it's not War and Peace. So you can read it over a cup of tea or coffee, half an hour to an hour. You've got, but
I'll get download that, but I do want a signed copy as well, Mel. Thanks.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure.
Paul, final 30 seconds from you, summary for the fans watching.
I think the fans have been great. They can see that the manager wants to bring about a more attacking style. We've seen evidence of that in the matches. It gives us hope for the forthcoming fixtures. I think getting those 3 wins out of the last 4 matches, having had 0 points from 9, the first 9 available, I think that's massive. And I'm really looking forward to watching us play. I mean, I'd obviously care about the result. I really want us to win against Villa and Leeds. But I've really enjoyed watching us play again. I came out of Watford buzzing after that performance. And it's been a long time since I've felt like that. Mm. Last season, as much as we're grateful for what Nuno did, I was going off to do the washing up in the match when it was on telly because it was that boring. And now I've got my buzz back. So my last 30 seconds is I can't wait for the next match. And I've seen enough from the first 7 to feel optimistic about the next 31.
I'm loving this positivity. Final 30 seconds from you, Manny.
I'll say 6 words. Back Bruno. Eat samosas. And talk more.
100% right, mate. Mel, from you.
Well, I can't better what Manny says. Success is an inside-out job. What you think about comes about. I think we've all got to be positive. I'm so positive, and like Paul said, Pet says, we're just looking forward to watching Wolves play now. Last season was one of those seasons. After it was obviously the big thing was Rahul's injury, and we couldn't we just had nobody or no idea of how to play without Rahul. That was the disappointing bit. There was the big plus was obviously Pedro Neto coming to the fore. I'm just so pleased that Wolves are establishing themselves as a top team again that can take on anybody. And I'm just really, really pleased and proud to be a Wolves fan. Absolutely.
100%. And I'd just like to just thank you guys for coming on. It makes it brilliant. It's been a great podcast. And there's a lot of people that have voted my channel and the podcast for the final, the Football Content Awards, as the best fan channel and the best podcast. So without you guys and the people joining in and in the conversation and listening to it and watching it, that wouldn't be able to happen. It's amazing. And I'm quite honoured that just to get nominated for that. And as for Wolves, I appreciate it, but you guys make it what it is. And as for Wolves, you just got to keep the positivity. It's exciting watching Wolves this season. Like you say, the fans have got the mojo back. The home games, the away matches have been insane. The supporters, the vibe around before, during and after the game. And if we've got our football back, football is back, and I think that's the main positive. And we just got to sit back and enjoy the ride with Bruno. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but I think there's going to be more ups. And the football is a roller coaster. And who knows? Keep dreaming, keep believing. Always Wolves.
Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.